This message was recorded live at the Ark Church in Conroe, Texas.
Hey, let's dig into our lesson tonight now, okay? If you will turn in your Bibles, I'm going to get to, and we're going to read out of 1 Kings chapter 18. We're going to look at Elijah's life, and I'm going to give you 4 points that we can get from Elijah and what he did and what he learned as a man of prayer. I love this scripture because it talks about Elijah as a man just like you and I. Just like you and I. He had his same struggles as you and I have struggles with. He had the same stuff that was going on in his life that you and I kind of go through in our lives. His same ups and downs in his spiritual walk with God. I was talking about when I was a kid, we went to a Jesus festival, and I was probably about 12 years old at the time. My mom and dad were volunteer youth leaders at our little Methodist church in a little town of Campbelltown, Pennsylvania. Little town right next to Hershey, and we had a church of a couple hundred in Methodist church that I attended, and they took us to one of the Jesus festivals that were out, that were just starting. These were festivals where they brought in the Jesus bands and greatest speakers, and it was out in this middle of this field in Lancaster County. And I remember the big stage that was there, and there were tents set up, and there's guys that were sharing worship music, and we were all worshiping as teenagers, and there must have been probably about 13, 14,000 of us at the very first Jesus Festival in Lancaster County. And we were there, and it was the second day, and the main speaker, Nikki Cruz, was gonna just about ready to get up and speak. I remember we had a powerful time of worship. Everybody was engaged in it. But there was these storm clouds that were brewing all around us. And because nobody knew what a Jesus festival was, kind of a couple years removed from Woodstock, and so there was police all around saying, what are all these young people gathering together in this field having a lot of music and a lot of lessons? And so there's a lot of speculation. There was a lot of inquisitive minds going, all right, what is going on here? And so these clouds started to form. And I remember Nikki Cruz got up and he was just about to share. And we looked behind, and the wind started to howl. I mean, it started to blow. Fierce, just wind going on. And everybody's kind of looking around. The tents were flapping. Things were going on, and we're out in the middle of this field. And even the stage started to rattle and shake a little bit. And we looked behind me, and God is my witness. I looked behind, and there's a tornado coming right for that group of 13, 14,000 people. Where do you go? We were stuck in the middle of this field, and this thing was there. Nikki Cruz sees it. He's watching. It's coming down. He goes, let's get on our knees. Let's pray. Let's ask God to just change this situation right now. Everybody. I mean, what do? When you're going through a crisis, you get what? On your knees. And so we dropped to our knees right there, all these young people, and I was doing one of these prayers. You know, looking, praying, one eye open type of deal. You ever do that? God, are you going to answer? You know, do I need to run? You know, what's going on here? And so, we were praying, and we were saying, he said a prayer. And as my eyes saw it, that tornado went like this, gone. Right when it got to the edge of that event. And you know, that thing went all the way around the edge of that and circled back around the other side of the stage, formed again, and took off. How many know prayer changes things? Man, that had a huge impact on my life when I was 12 years old, watching God do marvelous things. I mean, no, prayer is God answers prayer. Many of you, God answers your prayer of healing, maybe for a job, maybe for finances, maybe in certain areas. Yet in spite of all that background that I've had, and I've seen God heal people. We had a kid, and I was a youth pastor, and it was probably our third year, and I had a kid in our youth group, and he was one of the star football players on our high school football team. He came because he was kind of dating one of the girls. You know how that one goes, right? So she kind of drug him to church, and he was there. His name was Jeff. And Jeff would always sit in the back of youth group. And we had an explosive youth group. We had our own youth band and all the rest. And Jeff was sitting in the back of the youth group, and he was like this the whole time, don't worship. Like, go ahead. Prove that there's a God type of thing. I'd speak, and kids were getting saved. Things were happening all around us. And so he wasn't participating in the service time, but he would come for her. And so we had a Monday night Bible study for the leaders of that youth group, and they were junior high and high school kids, and they were growing in their walk with God, and God was charging them up. They were getting on fire for the Lord, and we had it at our house, and there was probably about 30, 35 of them. We had them in our living room, out into our dining room, up our stairs, all around. They were sitting all around everywhere. Kids were just getting excited about what God was doing in their life. And I remember that he would drop her off, and then he'd come back for her. He'd leave, and she was part of the group, and his sister as well. And so I remember after this one particular night was over, and they were getting ready to get picked up, and he comes walking in the house. Usually he sits out in his car and waits for them. He comes walking in. He comes right up to me and stands right smack down in front of me. He's about 6'2", dude. And he's like this. He goes, "Can your God heal me?" And I thought, all right, here's a spiritual challenge. And all the kids, you know what all the kids, they were gabbing because it was after the meeting, man. The kids, and all of a sudden, he's there and he goes, can your God heal me? And everybody's silent and they're looking. How's Pastor Bob going to handle this one? I said, what are you asking God for? And he opened up his mouth. See, he had been chewing tobacco ever since he was a young kid. And there was a hole in his gum. He said, "I was diagnosed today with cancer in my lip. Can your God heal me?" I said, "Absolutely, my God can heal you." Kids, I said, "Come on, let's pray for Jeff." We gathered around. We laid hands on this young guy. And right there, right in front of my eyes, God began to heal that. I saw it close up like that. Jeff was no longer the same. Come youth group on Wednesday night, Jeff is hands raised. "I love God." You know, he healed me, you know. And man, God, it didn't just change Jeff, but it changed his family. It changed the kids around him. They saw the miraculous hand of God right there in front of them. How many know God can still do miracles today? Amen? So even though I saw all that, and even though that was happening in my life, even though it's called a mystery, I often struggled with my prayer life. How many of you can say, I can kind of relate that? I often think, man, I can grow in that. I can get better in that. I can have a better prayer life. Man, it seems like, man, every time I hear somebody talk about prayer, I always walked away and went, I don't pray like that. I don't pray that long, and I don't pray that often. I mean, man, something's wrong with me spiritually. So I used to look at myself that way, even as a pastor, till I found out what I'm going to teach you guys tonight. It just revolutionized my own prayer life, what God was doing. How many know our nation needs prayer more than ever today? Amen? I mean, all around us, we see things happening. And what's it going to take? It's going to take God's people to get on their knees and go, God, I believe you can change this situation. I believe you can change our country. I believe you can change the temperature in our country. Amen? And so Pastor challenged me. He says, Bob, man, we're doing this memorialization. I want you to tell and teach the people how you've taken this scripture and just ingrained it into your life. And now it's a daily part of how I pray all day long. So I'm going to teach you that. But as our nation is going through the turmoil that it's going through, our daughter, she's 29, single over in, she lives in Florida, and her name's Kayla. And did I mention she's single and I'm taking applications? I told her to listen to this because I was going to throw it in, so she'll get me for this one. But, you know, she was talking about it, and she was had the second hurricane. We had the first hurricane. She had the second hurricane coming to Florida. And so three girls have a home together and three single gals in a home together and a hurricane's coming. And so our phone was ringing off the hook. I mean, it was like every 2 minutes, man, Dad, what should we do? What should we do? And all three of them had to stay because their jobs reflected on them staying. Two of them worked at a hospital, including my daughter, and one of them for an insurance company. So they couldn't leave and get out of town. They had to stay in their town, in their house, when a Category 5 was coming their way. And the first phone call was terror. I mean, just absolutely terror and fright. And is this the end? And Dad, is this the end times? What's happening? There's all kinds of hurricanes and earthquakes and things going on. Is Jesus coming back? Have you ever asked God that when different things happen? Is this time? And she goes, Dad, I don't want to be selfish, but I'm single. I would like to get married before Jesus comes back. Can you pray to God that it's not the end, you know? And so I just kind of, you know, throwing a little humor in there with her. And so she had that spirit behind her. None of us ever prayed that as singles, did we? Come on. Right? You know, way back in 1981 when Joyce and I met, man, that was my prayer. God, just let me get married before you come back, you know? And so some years later, 35 years later, you know, my daughter's praying the same thing. But there was genuine fear gripping her spirit. Genuine fear in what to do, panic on what to do. I said, Kayla, I'm not going to tell you what to do except for one thing, and that is pray. Let's pray that God will have his hand upon your life and protect you and the girls there. And so what we're going to teach you tonight is something that I taught her and showed her through the scripture during this crisis. So let's look at our scripture tonight in 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to read it, and then we're going to unpack it a little bit. This is about Elijah. It says, Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. So he went up and looked, and he said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. Let me give you a little background here what Elijah's facing. 3.5 years earlier, Elijah tells the king, Ahab, he goes, listen, there's not going to be any rain till I pronounce it again into this nation. And then all of a sudden, the king goes, say, what? He says, there's not going to be any rain in this nation till I pronounce it again. And then God says, Elijah, I think you better flee for your life. And so he takes him out, and he takes him to another place. And so for 3.5 years, this nation did not see a drop of rain. Can you imagine what would happen to the economy if we didn't see rain for 3.5 years? I mean, as a whole nation, it would affect our economy, crops, what, livelihood, affect our health, okay, even the bathing necessities that we normally would do with water. It affected all that for 3.5 years. Who do you think the most wanted man during those 3.5 years was in that nation? Elijah. If there was social media back then, I mean, his face would have been everywhere. Everybody in that nation would have been looking for him. Says, who is this man that said there wasn't going to be water or rain for 3.5 years, and all of a sudden for 3.5 years there wasn't any rain or any water? How many know that is a crisis for a nation? And so their nation, like our nation, was going through a crisis. And all of a sudden, God spoke to Elijah, says, it's time to go back, and it's time to do some rectifying here. And so Elijah goes back, and he says, man, hey, go tell the king I'm coming back. How many, that might not have been a good idea. Okay, they're looking for this guy, the most wanted guy, and he says, hey, go tell the king I'm coming back. He's announcing he's coming back, the most wanted man in the nation. He says, but I'm going to bring good news to you. And so this is where we pick up the story, and Elijah says, man, I need you, God. So we're going to look at four things as we unpack this, and the first one is this: when you're expecting God or asking God to do something in your life, he said this, he humbled himself. Notice this in verse 42. He says he what? He says, so Ahab went, and Elijah went up to the Mount Carmel, and then he bowed down on the ground, and he put his face between his knees. That is an act of humility. How many of there's times it says, you know what? It was a physical act of what was going on in the spiritual realm inside of his inward self. He goes, you know what? This is beyond me. I can't do this. I need a God that's bigger than me. I need somebody that's bigger and greater. And so he said, you know what? I got to humble myself because I can't handle this crisis. I can't handle this alone. I can't go through this all by myself. This need that is in our nation that we have now is bigger than us. It takes a big God to do it. And so Elijah says, I'm going to humble myself. So he gets actually physically down on his knees, puts his head between his knees and says, cries out to God and says, God, we need you. God, we need you. God, we need you. He says, this crisis that our nation is going through, it takes us as followers of Christ, I believe, to what? Humble ourselves, just like Elijah. It says, God, we what? We can't do this. No one man, no one person, no one system is going to change it, but only you by your power and by your might. And that's what's going to take is us as followers of Christ going, God, what? We need you. Have you ever had a crisis come into your own personal life? You tried to fix it on your own? How many have ever done one of those ones? Ah, oh, I can fix it. I can do that. I can. And you come to the end of yourself, and then all of a sudden, it's humbling, isn't it? Because you can't fix some things that happen in life to you. There's certain things that happen in our lives that, man, we can't fix as much as we want to, as much as we want to change things and make things right for maybe a family member or somebody in your own life or maybe a job or situation. We've come to the end of ourselves, and how many know that's humbling? And it's exactly what Elijah did. Wouldn't it be nicer if we just went right to our knees right away and said, this is bigger than me? God, I need your help. God, I need a big God. Aren't you glad we serve a big God, though? It says, regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what your need is, regardless of what's happening in your life, we have a big God. It says, nothing is impossible with him. First act we need to do is what? Humble ourselves. The second thing we need to do, and he learned this, is effective prayers are also specific prayers. In verse 43, it says this. It says, go and look towards the sea. So he went out and looked and said, there's nothing. Seven times he said, go again. What was the specific part? He says, go and look towards the sea. He says, mine was specifically, we're going to pray. We're going to pray for rain. We're going to pray that God's going to bring it. I believe he's going to do it. So sometimes, do you ever do one of those just God bless me prayers? kind of like just a generic prayer. God bless our marriage. God bless our finances. How many others are not bad to do? But every now and then, we need to get real specific and say, God, this is what I want you to bless in my marriage. God, this is what I want you to do with my health. God, this is what I want you to do with my finances. We need very specific prayers, and that's what Elijah was doing. He says, man, God, I need you to do this, and this is how I need you to do it. So he gets this picture of him being very specific in his prayers. The third thing is this, to have effective prayers, they are persistent prayers. The last part that we just read, he told him, he goes, man, he went, and this is kind of a cool story. He goes, and his servant goes and looks at it, and he says, there's nothing there. And then seven times, Elijah says, go back again. So I can see the servant that was with Elijah up on the mountain says, where are we praying? Well, we're praying for rain. Go to the sea, see if there's clouds coming. Okay, so he went. I don't know what the distance was. Comes back. He goes, nothing there. Elijah goes, still on his knees, goes, what? Go pray again. Go look again. Go look again. He goes, does it again. I don't know how far that was. When comes back again, nothing there. Elijah's just going, get you. You want me to go look again? Yeah, right. So he goes and looks again. He does that seven times. Every time he comes back, there's nothing. He says, go. How many of us have ever given up on our prayer after the second time's praying for something? Maybe the third time or the sixth time. We pray about it. We don't see God move. So what do? We get discouraged and we what? And we stop praying. What do we learn out of this? Elijah says, no. There's a big miracle that's coming. Go check again. I believe many Christians, we give up right before the miracle happens for us. When is the enemy going to come on the strongest to defeat us or to discourage us? At the beginning of it and at the what? The end, right before the miracle happens. Don't you think the enemy knows what's going on? And he's going to go, you know what? I'm going to bring every obstacle, every doubt, every discouragement, every frustration. I'm going to keep you from praying and breaking through. I believe many of us, right here's the wall, and we're coming real close to it, and the breakthrough's on the other side. We get there, and we go, oh, it's just too difficult. We lose hope. We lose faith. We quit praying. I don't know how long that was, but Elijah kept doing what? Go check again. Go check again. I don't know how long you've been praying for your miracle. My question for you tonight is, have you given up? Have you given up? Have you stopped? And why not tonight start again? Why not just have that spirit? Go check again, go check again, go check again. God, I'm going to be persistent in my prayers. When we were praying for our daughter, when she was a young kid, she was diagnosed with severe asthma. And we found that out during a Christmas time when she was visiting my mom and dad, and their kids were doing a sleepover, and they loved going over at Christmas time and baking the cookies and doing all that. Anyhow, she had closed down her breathing, and I shared this story before, I'm going to share it again. And when she closed down her breathing, my mom and dad didn't know what to do, so they called us, and we drove there and picked her up. And she was almost to the point of losing consciousness as a little kid. And so, long story short, we rushed her to the hospital, and they told us that she has asthma, and she wouldn't be able to be a normal kid, that she's going to have to be in a nebulizer all the time and take machines and do all kinds of stuff. And so they sent us home with medicines and machines, and every night we had to hook her up in a mask, and she had to breathe in this stuff, and it's really, really steroids to help her breathe strong and do all that stuff. Well, we didn't take that as the ultimate answer. And so we said, all right. She's getting help, but we believe God can. And it took us years and years and years and years and years of praying for that miracle. And all of a sudden, there was a breakthrough. We went, you know what? It was probably 4 or 5 years later. We said, God, we are still praying for our daughter's healing, and we believe and trust you. 7 times, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is. Else it takes. And you know, at that point, our daughter had a breakthrough and healing. She played basketball in school. She played soccer in school. Things the doctor told her she would never be able to do, she's able to do. What? The power and the healing of God. But we didn't give up. Don't give up. Keep on being persistent. Fourth thing we learned from Elijah is this. Not only is it persistent prayers, but he also had a expectant heart. I love this part and the last part of 46 and that. Let's read it. Then it came to pass on the seventh time, they said, there is a what? Cloud. Now, if you haven't had rain for 3.5 years in your nation, and you've been sent 6 other times to go look for a sign that there's rain coming, and there hadn't been anything, and he comes back and says, there is a cloud. He didn't run back and say, Elijah, guess what? There's a massive storm brewing. It looks like a monsoon. I mean, it's going to take care of all of our problems. It's coming. No, he said, there is a what? There's a cloud. Cloud. There's a cloud. As small as a what? Not too big of a cloud either. And he says this, and then he says, and he says, go up and to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops. I'm sure, what do you think that servant was thinking? The master has lost it, right? Come on, it's that big. It's a cloud. Cloud. It's not a monsoon. It's not a big storm coming. It's a cloud. How many? That's all it took for Elijah, though. Had an expectant heart. When he got down on his knees, did you think he got down on his knees? Just kind of, it's exercise. It's rote. It's something I got to do. Man, it's because I was told to do this as a Methodist kid growing up, so I'm going to say this prayer. Sometimes that's how I felt my prayers were. By rote. By just going through the motions. Is it making any difference? Elijah says, man, and when I read this, it was just changing. He says, I'm going to go into my prayers about expectant prayers. He just saw one little glimmer, one little thing. Maybe it's one little scripture that's going to come and plant into your life, and you're going to say, man, that's the scripture I need. Or one person's going to give you a word of encouragement. You go, that's the hope I needed to get through this crisis or get through this situation. Maybe it's just that one thing that you can hold on to. How many know that's all it takes at times? That one layer of hope, and that's all Elijah had was that one what? That one little cloud. And he says, go tell the king, man, the floods are coming. How many of you, that is a great spiritual heart to have, right? That's what we want to develop in us. I want to have that mindset. I want to have that prayer attitude. Man, when I'm believing God for the miraculous, when I'm believing God that our society is in a crisis right now and we need a miracle, guess what? I'm looking for what? Little cloud. What hope do we have for America? What hope do we have for your miracle? What hope do we have in our lives? God says, all it takes is a little hope. So Elijah models that and says, man, go prepare. It's coming. The rain's coming. A storm's coming. And to unpack the rest of the story real quick, man, it came and it flooded. And it says, then Elijah, man, he got everybody out just in time and the floods came and the rains came. Guess what? That's what our God can do. Nothing is impossible with God. Whatever situation you're going through, whatever trial you're in, whatever crisis you are facing right now, guess what? Believe God. Trust God. Be persistent in it. Be specific. What do you really want God to do? Humble yourself. Say, God, I can't take care of this situation, but I know what? You can. So that's Elijah's model for prayer. I want to unpack a little bit about the next 5 minutes that we have together about how I use this prayer that Jesus taught us called the Lord's Prayer and how it has changed my morning prayer walks. In my prayer time. It's found in Matthew chapter 6, and we all know it. Most of us know it in here. If you've gone to church as a kid, you probably memorized this prayer, and it's called the Lord's Prayer, and it has changed my life in my prayer time. And so this is how the prayer goes. It says, Our Father, which art in what? Art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So this is what I do. I'm going to practically teach you how to do this. As pastor's been practically teaching us how to take the scripture. Remember when he sat on the step and he says sometimes he just sits there on that step and he just takes in that word and says that word over and what? And over and over and over again. This is what I do every single morning when I get up. I go out and I do a prayer walk. Now, you don't have to do a walk part. You can go find your prayer closet. I just happen to pray better when I'm walking because I found when I sit too long, I kind of nod out. Anybody ever had that when you're praying? Or you start thinking something else or going, man, my mind. So I get a little bit lazy when I'm sitting there. And so usually I go all day. And when I finally sit down, it's like, I'm done. And so I don't want to do that. So when I'm walking, it keeps me energized, keeps me focused. So our development that we have a little cul-de-sac area. And it takes about 5 minutes to walk around it with a big island in the center. And we have houses around. And so I just walk that 6 times in the morning. And I take one aspect of the Lord's Prayer for every lap that I do. So it takes 5 minutes to do every section. This is how it looks. When I do Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. For a whole 5 minutes, that whole lap around that cul-de-sac, I'm just telling God how great he is. God, you are holy. God, you're great. Good morning, Lord. It's just, I am just excited to be waking up this morning. Man, I serve a good God, a kind God, a gracious God, a faithful God. For 5 minutes, I'm just saying, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. I'm sure people in my neighborhood think I'm a little crazy. But, I'm just proclaiming the goodness of God and how hallowed his name is. God, how I love you and your faithfulness, your kindness, your goodness. So for 5 minutes, I'm just talking to God that way. Hallowed be thy name. Then I go into thy kingdom come. thy will be done. So then I'm praying, Lord, the will of God over situations and people's lives that I know. Some people I'm praying for, I have a whole list of about 5 or 6 people that I know that have recently been diagnosed with cancer. I'm praying, Lord, your will be done. Your healing into their life right now in Jesus' name. I'm praying the will of God and the purpose of God over their life. I'm praying that for people that need jobs. I'm praying thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I'm praying that over my daughter that needs a husband. I'm just praying that over and over and over. But did I say I was taking applications? Anyhow, I'm praying that over and over and over and over and over and over again. You know, what God's doing, I pray, thy kingdom come. Not mine, but what? Thy kingdom. I pray for our nation, God, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in our land. I pray that over our church and our church leadership. Thy what? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. For 5 minutes, I'm just praying about the will and the kingdom of God. Then I said, give us this day what? Our daily bread. So I'm thanking God. I'm thanking God for daily bread, for his provisions, for my job, for my bosses, for what God's done, for what God's going to do, for our finances. God will give us wisdom in our finances. Man, I'm praying it for 5 minutes. I'm praying, thank you, Lord God. We're going to be the head, not the tail. We're going to lend, not borrow. God, you've created us for wealth. God, you created us for goodness. Goodness is coming to our life. Favor's coming to us. Blessings coming to us as a family. Man, I'm praying that for 5 minutes. How many of that's a good prayer? Right? I'm praying the blessings of God over our lives. Thank you. I pray for protection over the things, our properties. I pray the blood of Jesus over them. I said, God, our stuff's going to outlast any other stuff. You know, we had a dryer that lasted for 30 years praying the prayer over our stuff. Okay? I'm serious about it. I believe that prayer can do those things. Man, the warranties will exceed the warranties. God will bless us. God will give us favors. How many of we serve a good God? He says, man, I'm going to bless my children. Do I want that for my kids? I want blessings on them. So isn't our Heavenly Father the same way he wants blessings for our lives, man? So I pray that over that. And then I go into, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Oh, this now gets to be what? A little bit more personal. Okay, then I say, God, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And I'll even list them. I'm going to list them for you. But I list them, all right? Say, God, forgive me for this. I'll share one of them. God, give me patience when I'm behind the wheel of a car. I've been praying that for years. My family has been praying for that for years. My wife is interceding that I would have patience behind the wheel of the car. And you know what? It is working because we just drove recently to Destin Beach, Florida. And the whole time we're getting ready and packing and doing all that, Joyce goes, now you're going to be good, aren't you? And I know what she means. She means behind the wheel of the car. And she goes, so I said, God's working on me. I'm praying about it. I believe God's helping me. And you know what? We got there. No, I didn't say a word. I didn't thunk the horn. I didn't wave my hands. That's a miracle, guys. That's a miracle. Okay? I believe in those. I believe God can help us. So you say, do you pray that every day? Every day. I pray, God, give me patience when I get behind the wheel. Give me patience. I'll get behind. I mean, that's what I do normally is wrong. So I'm asking God, God's helping me. So I pray for those sins, those things that I have wronged God and for my debts. And those people may have wronged me. How many know it's good to have a clear conscience? Last couple real quick after we do that. And lead me what? Not into, God, keep me from evil places and evil things. I mean, that's a good prayer. It's a good prayer to pray over your kids, over your lives. God, keep me from places I don't need to be. For thine is the what? The last part. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. This is where I invite the Holy Spirit in. I pray in the Spirit for a whole lap. For 5 minutes, that whole lap around, I'm praying in the Spirit. Holy Spirit, for thine is the kingdom and the power. Holy Spirit, I pray right now in Jesus' name. You know what I'm going to face today. I don't know those meetings, those situations. Drop things in my heart. Give me wisdom. Give me understanding. Give me insight. And I tell you what, time and time again, God will show me by his Holy Spirit what I need to know for that day as I pray that prayer. Guys, if it can change my prayer life, just doing that simple thing. And you don't have to pray it for 5 minutes. You can pray it just in 30 seconds over your life. But pray it throughout the day, and I guarantee you, God will change you. I know of people that needed healing in their life. They started praying this prayer over and over and over again, and God healed them. I know people that were in dire straits financially, and God set them free financially and emotional things because they prayed this prayer. Jesus said, hey, if you're going to pray like this. Pray in it, believing God can do it with an expectant heart. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for tonight that you teach us so many things that we can use throughout our lives, and prayer is one of those. because you want to have a deep relationship with us. God, it's beyond just asking you for things. It's just beyond just when we get in a crisis. But God, you want to just know us personally, what's going on in our hearts and our lives. So God, we accept that challenge to just grow deeper into our relationship with you, grow deeper into who we are as followers of Christ, and have a deeper relationship with our loving Heavenly Father. So tonight, we pray that in our relationship with you today, God, we're challenged to just live deeper for you, and we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, now where your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, if tonight you came in and said, Bob, man, I don't even have a relationship with Christ, well, tonight's your night. You're just sensing the Holy Spirit tugging at your heart, and you want to say, man, tonight I want to surrender my life to the Lord. Or maybe it's been a while since you've come back to the church or come back to the Lord, and you say, man, I want to get my life right with the Lord. Just between me and you and God, nobody else is looking around. If you just slip your hand up in the next 10, 15 seconds, come on, all over the place. If you say, man, I just want to surrender my heart, I want to come back to Jesus tonight. Just all over. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. God sees your heart and God sees your hands. Well, guys, let's pray this prayer together and join those that raised their hands tonight. And if you didn't raise your hand, you can pray this and believe God's going to just empower your life. Say, dear God, I know mankind needs a Savior, and I know I can't save myself. Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. And God raised you from the dead. Right now, I confess you as my Lord and as my Savior. As the one who forgives me and restores me. Thank you, Jesus. My past is forgiven, and I have a relationship with you. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus because I said yes to you. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more about The Ark, visit thearkchurch.com.